In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. You know, even St. Paul made mistakes. Oh, yes. We heard about the mistakes of the widows that were Jewish who were getting better food than the widows that were Greek, all Christians. And so they appointed deacons to serve at table. So even the early church did wrong things. Even the early church was in the flesh sometimes, but they repented. And they got seven men filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were Greeks, and they were to wait on table, but they didn't do waiting on table. We see after the apostolic spirit came upon them, they went out and preached and converted people, Stephen and Philip. Now I'm looking at Paul and his big mistake. "And they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed." Now while Paul waited for them, Silas and Timothy, at Athens, his spirit was stirred, troubled, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Oh yes, there was a god of this and a god of that and a goddess of this and a goddess of that. And Paul is troubled because he sees that the whole city is given to idolatry. He knows the one true God. He has the power to affect people's lives by the preaching of the gospel. "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons in the market, daily with them that met with him." So he goes to the synagogue first and speaks to the Jewish people about Jesus. "Then certain philosophers," now this is very interesting, Paul is a scholar, and there are certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics that encountered Paul. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Some others said, "He seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Oh, ho, ho, something is missing. He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. I always thought that the gospel was Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and on the third day rose from the dead. So he did not preach the gospel to them. He preached only the resurrection. And they took him and brought him into the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine that you speak is?" We want to know what this new doctrine means and is. "For you bring certain strange things to our ears, and we would know, therefore, that these things mean." We want to know what you're talking about, the resurrection. "For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell of some new thing." So the Athenians were into new things. I'm going to tell you, I once met a woman in Walmart Cathedral, and she said to me, "Father Tom," she heard my voice, she said to me, "Father Tom, you keep on preaching the gospel. You haven't diverted from preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus." She says, "It makes me so happy to hear you." And I said, "Thank you for telling me." And I had preached the gospel for years. But Paul is going to preach the resurrection. And all these people in Athens have itching ears. They want to hear about the resurrection because it's something new. But I'm telling you, Paul does not make much progress in Athens. When Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." They wanted to make sure they had all the gods, and then they had an altar to the unknown God. whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, and I will declare him unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands. That's right. God is bigger than buildings. That doesn't mean that we don't have buildings. It means that God is bigger than buildings. And if the building is prayed in, it becomes a holy place. It becomes a sacred place. I tell you, people come to Holy Rosary. One lady said to me, I've never been to a church like this before. She felt the presence of God, I'm sure. She saw the Mass being celebrated with dignity, and she came up to me and said, I've never been to a church like this. I tell you, the walls of Holy Rosary are pierced with the prayers of people. That's just the reality. People praying at all times, all different kinds of prayer too. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, singing in other languages, dancing and jumping around. I tell you, it's all found at Holy Rosary. And the church feels like it's prayed in. And that's real. Some churches don't feel like it's prayed in. You can go to a church and just smell the holiness sometimes. Whatever church you go to, that this is a holy place. I remember going to a certain place and I smelled unholiness. And the Lord said to me, I want you to adore me in this church because not many people adore me. I remember that very, very, very distinctly. And so you have an altar to the unknown God. God has made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and Lord of earth. He dwells not in temples made by hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life breath to all things. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the times which appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. They should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. Okay, Paul's trying to tell them about the one true God, and that if you seek him, you will find him. And it goes on, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain one of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So he takes one of their poems and says, you know what? In him we live and move and have our being. And he's trying to tell them that it is through the resurrected Lord. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is made of gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's devices. In other words, God is not made of stone. That is not a God. He is not made of gold. That is not a God. That is not God Almighty. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus, and Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe in the works that I do. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Again, Paul is trying to tickle their ears, talking about the resurrection and not talking about the crucifixion. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear you again on this matter. Yeah, they'll never come back. They'll never come back. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Among them was Dionysius the Areopagite, and the woman named Damaris, and others with them. So Paul did not have very much success in Athens. Why? Because of two things. First thing, he did not preach the cross. The second thing, he did not do miracles. And now we go to the 18th chapter just for a second, and it says, after these things, after Athens, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Oh my. So he's going to Corinth, and as we go to Corinth, we're going to see what he's going to preach. He learns. He says this, very interesting, that he learns that he made a big mistake. He did not preach the cross of Jesus. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made to none effect. Ah, he spoke in Athens of wisdom of words. He tried to get these philosophers to think that he was something, and he learned that it's not in wisdom of words. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. See, he learned. He went to Athens, from Athens he went to Corinth, and he preaches the cross. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So, Paul now learns that he's got to what? He's got to preach the gospel, the full gospel. And he'll be doing miracles here in Corinth. He'll tell them that, you know, it's not only in words, but in power. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's right. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Yes, the foolishness of preaching. Of preaching who? Of preaching Jesus Christ. Of preaching his cross. Of preaching his blood. Of preaching his death and burial and resurrection. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, I know people who preach, but they don't preach Christ. They preach, you know, they preach some theological thought. You know, one lady came up to me and said, you know, I really understood what you were saying. You don't say. Like, I go to places that I don't understand what they're talking about. And I'm thinking, they don't understand it either. They don't understand it either. You know, it's got to be simple. It's got to be in human words that we know. You know, it's not in the intellect. It's in the devotion to Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his passion, death, and resurrection. And in this passion, death, and resurrection, we have the whole experience of miracles. Jesus said, signs like these shall follow those who preach the gospel. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. I want to remind what we heard on Sunday, that you who believe will do greater works than I, and the same works, because I go to the Father. And I asked the people in Holy Rosary, how many of you believe in Jesus and has given your life to Jesus? So they raised their hand. I said, but it says you who believe will do miracles and do greater things than Jesus because he goes to the Father. How many of you have worked miracles? I had 4 or 5. Of course, it's God doing the miracles. It's not the person. But he uses people. He always uses people. You know, God used Paul to preach, you know, to preach so that people would believe. And Paul realized from Athens he made a big mistake. He didn't preach the cross. He wanted to tickle their ears. He wanted to be liked. Isn't that something? That the preacher of all preachers wanted to be liked as a scholar. You know, we're all weak men and women. We're all weak men. I said, poor bums, that's all we are. You know, even Paul made a mistake, but I'm going to tell you, he fixed his mistake when he went to Corinth. Right after Athens, he goes to Corinth, and he doesn't preach anything but Jesus and him crucified. For Jews require signs, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preached Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. Why? Because the word of God says, cursed is the man who dies upon a cross. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Oh yes, Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And people are saved through the saving message of the cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's so simple. It's simple. And then you start telling people what happens as you preach the cross, death, burial, and resurrection, that God does miracles. I talked about Betty yesterday on television. I have a television program. And I talked about this beautiful lady who has fourth degree cancer, and she looks better than anybody else, and she continues to walk in the glory of God. Yes, miracles do happen. They happen through the power of the cross, through the power of the burial, and through the power of the resurrection. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. In other words, the cross seems like foolishness. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That's the cross. Oh, yes. So what do you want? I want God's foolishness and God's weakness. That's right, because that is what will touch people. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many of you were wise after the flesh, not many of you were mighty, not many of you were noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, that I'm one of the foolish things of the world, and you confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. I thank God that I am weak, that I needed the cross, and I need the cross. I need the salvation that comes from the blood. I need it. I was foolish, and I was weak. And I still am. Hallelujah. But the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of the people in Athens. That's it. And these things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yes, things which are not, to bring to not things that are. Oh, yes. That's why we pray that things that are not would come about to things that are. Yes, that we seek God and, you know, the back is the problem, but we seek that they are, that the back be healed. I told you about the man who came a couple of weeks ago. He had fallen down a flight of stairs and had broken his back, and he had pipes in his back, whatever you call them, and he asked if he was in pain. He said, always, and I prayed that the pain would be healed. And he starts crying. I said, what you crying for? He says, I don't feel the pain anymore. Oh, that's because of the cross. That's because of the burial. That's because of the resurrection of Jesus, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I cannot tell you that I am something special. I'm just one of the poor people like the rest of us. We're all poor bums. As one person said, we're all beggars. I'm a beggar offering bread to other beggars, okay? Another one is I'm a man who has bananas, offering bananas to other people so that they know where to find what they're looking for. Yes, a beggar who has bread, and he gives the other beggars the bread that he has. My bread is the word of God, the living word of God, where people come to receive Christ because the preaching of the gospel is being done. Let me tell you these things, that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. God has chosen the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. and no flesh should glory in his presence. Oh, how can we glory in his presence? It's all done through the power of the Spirit. It's all done through the proclamation of the gospel. How can we glory in his presence? It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. But there is a secret recipe. Preach Christ and him crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected, and people's lives will be changed. And then you can pray for the sick, and people will be healed. Oh, yes. I told you the story about Father Arthur. I've told it many times, but I love that story because this woman came to Father Arthur, who was in Poland, and had a sick baby, and put the sick baby in Arthur's arms and said, "Heal this baby. She's very sick." Arthur said, "I don't know how to heal." And she said, "You're a priest. Heal this baby." So Arthur started to pray the Our Father. The next day, the woman comes. The baby's in the carriage, smiling. I'm telling you. She said, "You healed the baby." Arthur's whole ministry changed, that God wanted him to heal the sick. You see, that is so important. That woman was a heroine, bringing to Arthur a baby that was sick. But Arthur did not know that he had any power to heal the sick. He preached the gospel. He did what he had to do. But he did not know that he had been given the power to heal the sick. I tell you, if you're a priest, you have been given the power to heal the sick. You see, I call those things to be that are not as if they are, and they are by grace. Be healed in Jesus' name through the blood of the Lamb. I know people that have a ministry of healing. We have someone in Washington, D.C., who is praying for the sick, a little woman. Not very tall, but mighty in the name of Jesus, because she's praying for the sick in Washington, D.C., and she has little healing services in the churches, and God heals people because she prays in the name of Jesus and through the power of the blood. That no flesh should glory in the presence of God, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made us wisdom. He's our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Yes, Jesus Christ is my wisdom. Yes, he is. He is my righteousness. Yes, he is. He is my sanctification. Yes, he is. And he is my redemption. Yes, he bought me back. Yes, he is. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. I tell you, it has nothing to do with Father Tom. It has everything to do with Jesus. But I will say this. The instruments are important. And God doesn't have very many instruments. People think, how can I pray for healing? What if they're not healed? Well, I tell you, that's not my business. The Lord tells me to pray for healing. And when people call me to have them be prayed for, I call them back on the phone. And when there's nobody answering, I leave a prayer like, "In the name of Jesus, heal John today. By the power of the blood, heal him now. By the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel, heal John today." This is a real prayer that I had on someone's answering machine. They say they listen to it every single day because they are told that God wants to heal John. I cannot heal John, but I can pray in the power of God that John would be healed. That's one thing I can do. I cannot heal John, but I can pray that he be healed by the blood of the Lamb that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. Help me pay my April bills. We need much money to pay our April bills. We're always 1 month behind. So please mail your checks to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. All that I receive goes to pay for radio and tithes. We tithe our money because God has taught us that if we want to keep the flow of money coming, we must tithe our money, and we do that in faith. Again, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. May Jesus Christ be praised, honored, and glorified. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.